Please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please remain standing for a moment of silent meditation.
Mr. Falco, just I ask that everybody here this evening also keep in mind and keep in their thoughts Ms. Lisa Conklin, who passed away this past week, okay?
Thank you. Before we begin, I just want to take a second, seeing they have such a good crowd. One of our board members is retiring after this meeting, in fact. I've known Rob at least for the last 12 years. He's been on the board, and he's been a great board member. He's done great for this district, and I hope he continues to stay around because we can use him. Rob, thank you very much.
I think we have something on behalf of the district for Mr. Scavo as well for his 12 years of service. During that time, he served as the president of the board, the vice president, and trustee for the past 2 years that I've gotten to know him. Vice president and trustee for the past 2 years that I've gotten to know him. I have a feeling we're not seeing the end of Rob also, but congratulations, Rob.
Okay, let's turn it over to Dr. Graham for the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. Falco. I did want to, and this evening is a celebratory evening. We have a number of people to acknowledge, a number of items to be happy for as we move into the commencement and the graduation season. I wanted to take an opportunity right now to thank Emma Hurt, who served as a student board representative from Sachem North throughout the school year. Emma will be attending Drexel University in the fall. She's certainly gotten her share of civics lessons while up here. And I know she's always reading a book, too. I wonder if she's getting in some extra reading as she's sitting up here. But I think on behalf of the Board of Education and the school district, I wanted to congratulate Emma. Thank you for her service throughout the school year. And I think that there's some cookies or something for the Board of Ed later as well from Emma and her mother. So thank you, Emma, and congratulations. This evening's also the last evening for Erin Mullery, who is from East, but I believe she's at the Smithtown prom this evening. So we thank Erin as well for her service throughout the school year. Now, we're going to do something a little bit unconventional this evening. We do have a number of presentations. We have a presentation that was postponed earlier this month, which was initially scheduled for June 6th on the Board of Education goals. And then we have a number of presentations for some students from Winona. And then we do have a little honoree for some of our retirees this evening as well. What the cabinet and I are going to do is just briefly roll out our presentation on goals. And once again, it's nice to have such a robust audience. So we're going to take advantage of that opportunity and share with all of you some of the things. And we'll be brief in that. And then we'll move on to the certificates for Winona and for our retirees, okay? And I'm just going to get up to put the projector on now, but then we're going to, that's warming up. And then we'll do this from our seats. So at the beginning of this school year, really dating back to last school year, we started a goal development process for the school district, and we worked along with the Board of Education and then with our school administrators to develop goals that the Board of Ed ultimately adopted in September of this year. And at that time when we adopted them, I think it was September 27th, we had made some commitments to share out on some of those goals to our community, to the Board of Education as well. And the first goal, and we're not going to go through every, this is the abridged. This will be on our website for people to look through and then to ultimately ask some questions on as they have an opportunity to read through all of this. But our first goal was related to safe and secure schools. And I'm going to ask Dr. Morrow to just comment on a couple of the items there.
Thank you. Although there's many things listed on there that you guys can look at, a couple of the highlights are that we worked with law enforcement and all the constituent members within the district to update and file our new safety plan with the state. We worked with Detective Lent from the Homeland Security Office in Suffolk County Police Department to put together presentations for every faculty and staff member throughout the district. We continue to work with him to put together presentations for parents, and then we've also had conversations with him about trying to put something together for students. At the time, he doesn't have anything, but he's been open to looking at those possibilities. We've hired 13 new security guards throughout our district for all of our elementary schools and middle schools, the addition of one guard, and then we also hired substitute security guards for when we have guards out of the high school so that they're not left shorthanded. Again, there's multiple other things on there that you can take a look at that we've been able to accomplish this year.
So thank you, Dr. Morrow. And I just want to – we didn't hire all of the security guards yet. We did allocate the positions in the budget. We're in the process of hiring them. So our second goal was related to student achievement and quality of instruction. Ms. Hines?
Hi. Thank you, Dr. Graham. I'm just going to talk very lightly about our learning foundations and our beliefs here. We have been working with all of our staff across our district. I'm not going to go through all of these, but these are our, you know, our principles around curriculum and instruction. Some of the actions, though, that were important to us this year that I just want to highlight for you. We have been working on establishing all of our consistent curriculum assessment and instructional practices, K-12, in particular around project-based learning. We've also worked to establish, instead of a flex period, which was a period that was more or less like a study hall, instead we've brought down LOAT into our seventh grade and started looking at an exploratory program for our CTE classes. And then lastly, as a major highlight, we are in the midst of improving technology across our district. In particular, at the elementary schools, we have purchased laptop carts for grades K-5. And next year, we're also going to be looking at our wireless infrastructure.
One of the other items within the curriculum and instruction area is that we are now a member school district for the Tri-State Consortium, which is a group of school districts throughout the Tri-State, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut of high-performing school districts that share best practices. And SACHM went through a year-long application period to the Tri-State Consortium, and we found out toward the tail end of this school year that we've been accepted as a member school district. And that really is a way to focus our conversations about teaching and learning moving forward as a school district.
Dr. Graham, if I could just add one last thing. One last major initiative that we're very, very proud of is our social-emotional programming, and that really sits with our instructional belief around the whole child education movement, and we are going to be looking at something in particular like our Challenge Day event that goes on at our high schools and bringing that down into our middle school next year with it being the caveat of Project Kindness. So we're looking forward to that as well.
The third goal focused on community relationships and communication and sharing our story. And I hope that all of you will have seen evidence of this through the content to our website, our e-newsletters. We did do the climate survey. We're beginning to cull through that data at this point that we'll share with our community very shortly. But I thought something nice to share with all of you about the class of 18 right now, so this graduating class that leaves us at the end of this week. And if you look there, you see that our current SACHM class of 2018 has received over $8 million in scholarships and grants. We have students enlisting in all branches of the United States military. We have students who are graduating with credentials for the workforce. And we administered nearly 2,000 advanced placement exams at both of our high schools combined, in the spring of this year. And you'll see we have students who are attending the most prestigious and competitive colleges and universities moving forward. The next goal is for fiscal responsibility. Mr. O'Keefe?
Sure, and again, just touching on it, I think we go to the next slide. It probably has a couple of bullets. Again, you know, it was one of the important things that the board wanted us to concentrate on. One of the items we identified is the district did not have a fund balance and reserve policy, so we worked with the board and council to create one and draft it. And off of that, then, we developed a fund balance and reserve plan. So we've identified each of our different reserves, what the maximum limits are, what the purpose of those reserves are. You know, over the last 2 years, we have gotten off of the state controller's fiscal stress list, which I think is quite an accomplishment for the board. And I think we've it's been evident that we've obviously changed the budgeting practices, broken the budget down into much more digestible and easy to understand components. So hopefully that's been recognized and appreciated as well.
It's difficult to distill a year's work into a 10 or 15-minute presentation, so we're doing our best, and that's why we had mentioned we'll put this all on the website, and we look forward to questions from our community moving forward. With regard to our fifth goal, and this is staff development, I'm just going to ask Ms. Capelitan to weigh in there.
Thank you, Dr. Graham. We've been hiring new staff during the 17-18 school year with the goal of hiring the best teachers for Sachem for our students. With that in mind, we've been focusing on our mentoring programs, and we've been focusing on our new teacher academy. We have a focus on providing training for our new staff and our new teachers to ensure that we are going to cultivate teachers' talents. It's our goal to continue to ensure to enhance that program and to make sure that we put our best practices in place for our teachers. And with that, I'm going to pass the baton to Ms. Hines.
Thank you. So there are many bullets there that you can read, but some of the ones that I just wanted to highlight, we are moving forward with using Google Classroom and Drive to streamline all of our communication and our professional development opportunities. And I'd like to thank the SCTA and SAA for working with us on that collaboratively, because that is, quite a new endeavor for us. I also wanted to just mention that we've been doing a whole lot of training around all of the new standards, in particular the Next Generation Learning Standards. So we have work going on in all departments across our district. And lastly, I just want to also highlight that all of our support staff, so that's our school psychologist, speech, OT, PT, they've also been getting relevant workshops that they feel are appropriate for their craft, and we're happy to support them in that.
Thank you. And you'll see through the presentation that Ms. Hines' office has been busy with regard to the professional development and the way that we're designing that and offering that, really to help support teachers in their day-to-day craft, but also be mindful of student instructional time and not be pulling teachers out all of the time for a training or a workshop, and really trying to honor the time that teachers have with their students in the classroom. And that's there are a number of slides and pictures associated with the different PD events and initiatives that we have taking place throughout the district. And finally, the last goal is related to We Are Sachem, and this is that idea of building community, building pride, looking at articulation both vertically and horizontally. And again, a couple of things to just highlight is this year Sachem became a member district in the Long Island Consortium for Equity and Excellence, and it's a group of school districts throughout Suffolk County that focus on meeting the needs of all of our students. And so we were able to send teams of district staff to participate in those trainings with the idea that they would come back to our district and then share best practices. We've also reestablished a district curriculum council and the wellness committee. And then I think we've increased the number of schools that are now sharing on social media. I think we're up 14 of 15 schools who are now tweeting vigorously about all of the events that are taking place in the school district. So we hope that you're seeing evidence of that. And then lastly, just down here, you see the end of the year report to the community. Today's really the beginning of that. You know, we had hoped for a much more robust presentation, but given the nature of all the celebrations that we have for this evening, we wanted to get to some of the really poignant points here, share them out with you, and we'll move forward with the intention that we'll continue to share some of the great things that are happening in our community with all of you at meetings moving forward. So at this point, are there any questions from the Board of Education?
None. Mike?
Yeah, I'm looking at the slide that had the Sachem class of 2018 with over $8 million awarded in scholarships and grants. And that, to me, is kind of the report card on how well we're doing. So in the future, I know it's kind of only 1 year, but if we could just show where we went from 2017 to 2018, I think it shows the community how well the administration's doing with academics.
Yeah,
it's a few other items here.
It's a great point. Some of these are – this is a snapshot, right? So it's not a point-to-point comparison. So that's something that we'll definitely include moving forward.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Dr. Graham.
Thank you. So So at this point, we're going to begin with our celebrations. I thank you all for your patience, but I hope that you were interested in seeing some of the good things that are happening throughout the school district at this time. And I'm going to pass the microphone to Ms. Hines, who is going to kick off the Winona presentations.
Isabella Mislin and Daniel Nister prepared for their 50-meter sprint and softball program. On May 6th, these athletes competed at Hampton Bays High School at the Long Island Special Olympic Games. Their hard work paid off, and each of our athletes won medals for their efforts. So I am proud of all of you, all the athletes and volunteers, for a job well done. Trisha Block.
Am I in someone's way now? Oh, no. I'm not in the south there. Could you imagine? Oh, you're going to scream that.
What's going on? And just one more student. I'm sorry. My fault. I did not see her there. Julia Grimaldi.
They should put the shorter ones in the front.
I know.
Alexis, I can't see. Yeah.
There we go.
And Mosian at the end.
Keegan, hold up your certificate.
Yeah.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Kristen Capoliden from Personnel. There's still plenty of time to enjoy some more presentations if you want to stay. Good evening again. We'd like to thank the families and the friends who are here for all of our retirees this evening. We have 51 retirees this school year, in the 17-18 school year, all of which are not here to share in the festivities and to for us to focus on a little bit this evening, but everyone is in our thoughts. Some folks have retired mid-year. Some are pending retirement. And as we speak to the fact that each and every person has made amazing strides with students, impacted children's lives to help mold them into adults for the future who go out into our community. We want to thank you all as employees, retirees, and also as family and friends. What I'm going to ask is that I'm going to call the name of 51 folks who are honoring this evening, all of which, as I mentioned, are not here. Some are actually celebrating right now in their own retirement festivities for the building. Choices. Then ask each of the folks who are here this evening to come up to the front where we're going to say a few words. We'll be nice. And we're then going to have Dr. Graham provide you with a gift on behalf of the Board of Education and the Superintendent of Schools. The first is Joseph Barisi, head custodian of Linwood. Sharon Berard. She's a account clerk typist from payroll. She's one of the people who made sure that if you were an employee, you got paid. Linda Bergman, speech teacher from Tamarack. Come on up. Linda. Linda's been a pillar in the Tamarack community for providing speech services to students. In her position, she supported hundreds, if not thousands, of students over the years with language difficulties. Without any fanfare, she has made a positive impact for so many students and their families. Linda has set the standard at Tamarack and will be greatly missed. She will be enjoying her time split between homes in Patchogue and Florida. Lucky you. If you're looking for her, you can find her at the beach, perhaps shopping or spending time with the most important people in her life, her husband Chris and their three children, her mom, Jen, Jim, and extended family, and the countless friends that she has. Congratulations. Pam Bowman, I saw you over there. Come on up. So Pam is an active member of the Seneca family. She has been a social studies teacher and a chairperson for Seneca over numerous years. A few weeks ago, I saw her during an evening presentation, which was her last of a series of awarding recognition to Seneca students in the social studies area. She looks forward to, she looked back upon her career with tremendous joy and loves hearing from students and colleagues. One thing that you can glean from Pam, if you have worked with her, that she is poised, articulate, and she's polished. And she's looking forward to joining her daughter in a new entrepreneurial venture. Congratulations. Rebecca Bradish Harney, or Becca, are you here tonight? Nope. Okay. Give me a second while I turn the page. Okay, Annette Broderick. No. Bonnie Bazinski. Hi, Bonnie. So how many of you have called over at Waverly Elementary School and been on hold and heard the Waverly song when you call over to Waverly? Anyone? You hear the students singing and you hear the piano? Well, that's Bonnie working with her students. Bonnie has successfully mentored the musical minds at Waverly her whole teaching career. She's been over at Waverly for the entire duration. She has a keen sense of honing in on the individual needs of students for their success. And again, if you're on the phone on hold, if you happen to call Waverly for some reason, you hear the singing, "We Are Waverly," it's Bonnie playing the piano. She looks forward to spending her time with her boys and relaxing with her family. Congratulations. Welcome. Lisa Carlin, she's at one of those festivities for the retirement this evening. Jan Chimella, right over here. Come on up, Jan. Now, Jan just came, Jan retired mid-year from Chippewa, but she was over at Gate Lot for the vast majority of her career. She was a mid-year retiree, and when she retired in January, I remember sitting with her in my office with her husband. And it was both sad for her to have her leave her Chippewa students behind, but she was eager to start her retirement and start traveling with her husband. The vast majority of her career, as I mentioned, was at Gate Lot. She can be described as kind, soft-spoken, sensitive to others, and Principal Aubrey has also stated that she's been active in the community, bringing in different speakers and community presenters to help expand students' involvement, including UNICEF. Congratulations. Carol Criffo. I see Jimmy Cummings in the back. Come on up, Jim. So Jim is the head custodian over at Winona with Ms. DePaola. Jim and I go back ourselves professionally many years. Jim joined us in Sachem 11 years ago. I had come over from Bayshore, and he had just come over from Bayshore. And I remember when I spoke to him and I saw him over at High School East and said, "Are you following me?" Yes. he is a long-standing member that's active in his community. He has been involved in the firehouse, giving back to others. I've seen him in action with his own children and coaching other students because he wants to have students get involved and have positive influences for them. He is kind-hearted, and he's dedicated, and he's looking forward to a trip to Ireland and not having to get up, as Chris DePaula said, at 4 a.m. on Election Day. Congratulations. Loretta Delacqua. Maureen Delaney over at Winona. Come on up, Maureen. So Maureen's been with us for 30 years. She has been cooking delicious meals over at Winona for students and staff, and she makes it fun for the students and staff. Her students, one of the activities she has is Lucky Tray Day. For anyone who's been over at Winona as a student, and some of you are laughing right now, you know what that means. It's a way that she's been trying to help students get engaged and have fun during a time that they have their lunchtime. She has been married for 48 years. She's known her husband for 58 years. And she looks forward to traveling instead of making meals, making reservations. Congratulations. Denise Enlin. Denise is a special education teacher over at Linwood. She is described by her colleagues as compassionate and caring. She is an avid mentor, collaborative with her colleagues, and described by Linwood principal Dr. DiLorenzo as a master teacher. She has helped students with special needs thrive and succeed, and we wish you the very best in your retirement. Congratulations. Gina Ernest. Hi, Gina. Gina is a speech teacher retiring from Hiawatha. She is looking forward to spending time with her grandchildren, traveling, and her coworkers shared with us that she puts her heart into teaching. It's more of a passion than a job. It's a little tidbit is she's also known for eating Cheerios and bananas each day. So congratulations. Rita Fischednik, Barbara Fishon, Marielle Sfodi, Lori Girardi, Geraldine Goblowski. Hi, Geraldine. How are you? You may have seen Geraldine a few weeks ago at a board meeting presenting on behalf of some students as well. Geraldine is a tremendous legacy both for Sachem and for Waverly. There will be some tremendous shoes to fill. Principal Ruggiero told me she has made wonderful connections with students, families, and staff that will have a lasting impact on their lives. Thank you for all that you have done for the elementary students along their way, and congratulations. Beverly Grosshandler. Hi, Beverly. So Beverly is a teacher of TESOL. She has been an integral part of Merrimack and the district's ENL program. Beverly's greatest asset is the connections that she makes with students. Beverly could always be seen as a volunteer and part of the district community nights, as well as building level activities such as synergy nights, McDonald's nights, Books Buddies nights, challenge nights, concerts, and her efforts have made her students more involved in the Merrimack community. She was tireless the whole time. So her plans for retirement include traveling and reading. Congratulations. Dr. Graham? She almost got away. Doreen Galata? Marilyn Harned? Ann Healy? Hi, Annie. During Annie's time at Tamarack, you could find her being part of the community, as Annie has always been there to lend a helping hand and to make Tamarack a great place for kids. Flag Day will never be the same without you leading the charge. Annie will be spending her retirement with her husband, Stevie, working on their home in Stony Brook and visiting their three children. After many years of being envious of your fellow retired Tamarack friends, I understand you're looking forward to traveling with them, book talks, and being able to be schedule free. Congratulations. You're welcome. Maggie Hickey? Hi, Maggie. I saw you back there. So Maggie's been working with us in district office, in the business office, making sure all the number crunches work perfectly. And she is a humble, diligent, articulate, motivated person who is a model for the co-workers in the district office. She's also someone who has been actively involved in helping other people along the way, and she's greatly missed. She was a mid-year retiree. Congratulations. Okay. Richard Hubbard, Donna Jackson, Sharon Jeanette, Diane Colmer, Maria Comanis, Lori Kropp. Hi, Lori. Lori is retiring from her position over at High School East. She's been actively involved both in the classroom and outside of the classroom. She oversaw the English Honor Society for many years. She's also been an active coach for 21 years, including various sports such as volleyball, softball, soccer, track and field. Her dedication to her students has been impeccable, and her coworker shared that if any of her students were asked what they would share about Ms. Kropp, that they would say that she cares about each and every one of her students. Congratulations. Mike Lasseterra. I didn't think he'd make it. He's in California. Lucky him. All right, Ken Loomis. I see you up there. Come on up, Ken. Ken retired earlier this school year. He is a very hard worker. He gets things done no matter what. Sometimes I would wonder, is he cloned? Because he was busy flying around doing so many things at the same time that you just couldn't keep up with him. He and his wife if they're not out enjoying community festivals or events to write to advocate for others, they are busy doing other things that involve things with a sense of humor, and they have, I went off script here. He may appear quiet, and he has a great sense of humor. At our district get-togethers, we would often joke about his plate full of salad, and we want you to enjoy every single moment of your retirement. You deserve it. Thank you. Jackie Mascola, come on up. So Jackie is a health teacher from High School North. Over the years, Jackie has been both a moving target at home and at work. She needs to make sure, and if you know Jackie, this is perfect, she needs to make sure that everything is just right for her students during the day, for her students during night school, and when she was working on her home, she was constantly involved in a project at her home or her garden, and everything was just right. So she is a teacher in action, and don't be surprised if you see her darting past you in a produce area or a natural food store, as she claims to be the best smoothie maker ever, and I believe her. Congratulations. Nancy Massapest, Kathleen Morgillo, Linda Nicosia. I know you're out there. Linda's retiring from East. Her coworkers describe Linda as saying she's a real sweetheart. A dedicated teacher who adored each and every one of her students, she encourages them to read, always to better themselves and believe in themselves. Her kind heart and caring ways will be missed immensely at East. Congratulations. Rich Palmer. Hi, Rich. Rich is one of our security guards who we name the Rovers. The Rovers respond to anything district-wide that's necessary to help out in any of the circumstances as they occur with students or staff or the community members. Rich has been working with us as a security guard for 18 years. He's dedicated himself to the safety of our students, our staff, and our community. And he was always there and available to assist our students and make sure they were safe. Congratulations. Frank Plantamura. Deborah Reed Hatton. Hi, Debbie. Debbie's been working in the federal funds, working on some of those big grants that we get to ensure that we have some money to help out with programs and other items to help our students. She loves to travel. She loves to be with her grandchildren, which each and every time we see her, there's something new and exciting to hear, and one on the way. I didn't know that, but I was going to say it must be one on the way. We will miss Debbie's infectious smile, her laugh, her concern for others, and her focus on everything Irish. Congratulations. Patricia San Giorgio, Barbara Schwartz. I'm actually going to ask the two people next to come up in together. It's Dr. Frank Scricco and Dr. Maria Scricco. Frank wants to be me to be nice. I will be nice. So when I worked at High School North, I referred to this team as Dr. Mrs. and Dr. Mr. So I'll keep on saying it. Dr. Mr. and Dr. Mrs. Look forward to enjoying time with your children who are active students. I remember seeing them children march in a parade that was for homecoming, and they've grown a lot since then. They were involved in a North activity or a club that you had taken them with. In addition to teaching Italian, Frank has been active in North with numerous activities and clubs throughout the years, as well as the last several years in the role of the SCTA president, making a difference for his members behind the scenes, many issues of which one will never know, the man hours and efforts that went into that to make sure that other people were taken care of who were in need. Frank looks forward to digging in his heels in numerous projects in his retirement and is currently in the midst of writing a book. I wonder what it's going to be about. Maria is a super organizer. She has been overseeing the Foreign Language Department of Honor Society for North for several years. She holds students in a very high standard, and she's nurturing and well-respected by her students. She treats her students as if they were her own, wanting the very best for them and helping them to achieve it. So thank you both, and congratulations. Margaret Shannon. Dorothy Simeone, Dottie. So if you were at Somerset Middle School, you may have seen Dottie Simeone here. She's highly organized, and she ran a tight ship at Somerset. Even in her retirement, we have been lucky to have Dottie continue to work with us covering clerical at district office when we've had the needs. She loves to travel. She enjoys time with her children, and lucky her, she has a place in Florida to escape to during the cold winter months and to take the chill off. Enjoy your visits with your grandchildren to New Mexico, and congratulations. Alice Surdy, Sandy Tardy, Sharon Uracholi, Cheryl Vogel, and Steve Shadbolt. Okay, so that wraps up our recognition portion. We're going to take pictures with the Board of Education. Thank you.
And I think Ms. Florio, the district clerk, arranged for a light refreshment for the retirees and their families in the room across the hallway. So we invite that you join in celebration. So just a reminder to our retirees who are leaving, across the hallway there's a light reception for you to enjoy and catch up and say goodbye, and thank you all again for all of the service for the district.
No, I'm not going to do anything till the end.
Okay.
All right? You saw this one, right? This one?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Approval of the minutes. Motion, please. Rob, second Terry. Any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay. We do have visitors, but we'll get them at the end of the session, okay? Business items, consent agenda, business items 3A1 through 3B2. Motion, please. Laura, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Personnel items, consent agenda, items 4A1 through 4A21. Motion, Rob, second. Sarah, any questions? Dorothy?
I guess, Dr. Graham, you might be able to answer this. For the clubs, we have in there 4A7, so we rescinded some for this year, and then we added others in, right?
Yeah. So 4A7 is a rescission of clubs for the current school year, 17-18, and then 4A8 is an appointment of clubs for the 17-18 school year. When we were appointing people at the rates, those rates changed based on the contract that had settled and the tables were developed during this school year. So we initially appointed them at one rate, and as a result of the MOA being ratified and going into contract language, the amount was adjusted. So that is rescinding them from the initial appointment and appointing them at the newly established rates.
Okay. And then for 4A9, that's for the clubs for next year.
That's correct. You know, you remember, or you may recall, that last year we were talking about attempting to start moving where we're having the club appointments not in September or October of a given school year, but having those done in the year prior. And so what we tried to move to, especially at the secondary level, is starting to have some of those club fairs and activity fairs in the spring so that students could identify the activities that they desired to be involved with in the fall, and that would allow then the advisors to plan and work with student leaders on preparation for activities for those. Now, that doesn't mean that every single club is appointed at this time, because there are still some that perhaps aren't identified within this list. This is the majority of those clubs so that we can start those up and running in the beginning of the school year.
So did we have a spring club fair?
We did at the high schools.
Okay. And I just noticed, I know in the past DECA had been talked about as far as coming back to North, and I noticed it was at East for next year, but it's not listed as a North club.
I thought we talked about DECA at both high schools, correct? Yeah.
DECA's at both high schools.
Okay,
so
I didn't see it on here.
If it's not on there, it's perhaps just because we haven't identified the advisor at this point.
Okay, yeah. So it'll be on at a later time then?
Yeah. Yes, it will. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Dorothy?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. We jump to page 31, consent agenda for personnel items 4B1 through 4B3. Motion, please. Bill, second. Laura, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, we're up to page.
Dr. Graham, we have some probationary appointment.
I was trying to catch up, you know, sometimes with the consents, and there's a lot of tables in here, so it's a lot of pages that are, you know, getting captured in one particular item. But thank you, Kristen. So this evening, you know, as you saw with so many of those retirements, many of which are in the teaching unit, we've been doing our darndest to go out and solicit candidates who are the best for our students. And this evening on this personnel agenda that was just adopted, we do have a number of teachers who were appointing to probationary positions. Just to let you know, for a probationary teaching position, we go through a fairly rigorous process where the candidates have to come in. They have to do a screening interview with a group of administrators. Then there's a committee interview, should they be moved forward, which is more in depth, a little bit longer. There's fewer candidates. From that point, we bring a number of candidates in for a demonstration lesson. So that's they go into a classroom, they teach a lesson. From the demo lesson, there are candidates recommended to the personnel office. Once they're recommended to the personnel office, Ms. Capelitan meets with them and makes sure, you know, that they have all their certifications in order, that their experiences are what they say they are in terms of legal pieces. And then once they meet with Ms. Capelitan, they're sent to me for a final interview. And, you know, I have been incredibly impressed with the level of candidates that we have gotten for our probationary teaching positions. And when it's difficult, it is difficult to replace the experience that we saw leaving us just a moment ago, you know, for retirees. I'm very optimistic and excited about the new crop of teachers that we're appointing this evening, and the group that we will continue to appoint for any other positions that remain open. So if you don't mind, can we have our teachers who are being appointed this evening to the teaching positions please stand, and we'd like to recognize them. Congratulations.
Dr. Graham, what do you attribute the high quality of teachers that you're seeing during the interview process that we're hiring?
Well, I think some of it is that we have gone to a more consistent interview process and selection process than has existed here in the past. I think that formerly there were some locations in the district that did it one way. There were others that did it another way. And sometimes because of the rush, you know, to fill positions, that, you know, maybe steps were skipped, and not on purpose. It was just you want to get people into the positions. So we rolled out a new process this year that I think was difficult because it does require a lot of additional time and research. I forgot to mention there are reference checks in there as well with all of those people. But I think that some of it's the process. I think the other piece of it is, for a while, we haven't been in the position where we've been hiring a lot of people here in Sachem. And quite honestly, because of our budgetary woes, candidates have been reluctant at times to come to the district, fearing that perhaps their job might not exist in a year or two or three. Or we have some people who had been laid off after 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 years. And so I think that in part, our new fiscal outlook being more positive, I think, has helped to attract some additional candidates as well, and high-quality candidates.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, I think we're up to page 32, consent agenda for personnel items 4C1 through 4C8. Motion, please. Laura, second. Terry, any questions? Dorothy?
Dr. Graham, the 4C7, the creation of the substitute auto mechanic, is that a new position?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm gonna volley that one over to Mr. O'Keefe.
Yes, that is a new position. Primarily, it's geared at the transportation department. We have been struggling out there. We've had multiple retirements. We've had gentlemen that have been out on disability or workers' comp. So this is going to allow us, because at certain times in the year, and right now one of them, we only have one mechanic out there for the full fleet of buses. But I have identified two individuals that would be excellent substitutes, so we want to have the ability, when other people are out, to bring in these substitutes to take their place, the same way we would do with custodians or anything else.
Okay, you know. So they would basically be on call, sort of.
Correct.
You would call them
as
needed.
They're not permanent employees. Okay. They're just on call.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, we're up to page 35, action items. Consent agenda for action items 511 through 5116. Motion, please. Terry, second. Laura, any questions? Dorothy.
So, and maybe this would, I don't know if this is for Dr. Graham or for Mr. O'Keefe. The 511, the approval for the yearbooks for East, I'm assuming at some point the approval will be on here for North as well. I have a question, though, as far as the yearbooks themselves. So each year they go up a little bit more, right, for the students because the students pay for it. So is it purchased separately that East, the East Yearbook Advisors would purchase it separately and then the North purchase it separately, too? Is that the way it works? Do you know?
I believe each school does have a different club or group that does. It's just like with prom. They go out on their own prom committee,
right.
Yearbook. They own their own yearbook committee.
Yeah. I was just curious to see if they bought them together or had a contract together, even though they're different books, whether they can get a lower price just to keep the price down for the students that are purchasing them. And I know each year it goes up a little bit, but I think my calculations for 40,000 for 600 copies was about $67 each, which, like I said, it does go up a little bit each year, and I would expect it would because printing costs do go up. But if there's anything we can do just to keep it consistent, I don't know if those yearbook advisors do an RFP or reach out to other companies besides this one just to keep it competitive. That's my only thought as
sure.
far as keeping the price down.
Certainly could look at that.
Okay, any other questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, we're up to consent agenda for action items 5117 through 5127. Motion, please. Rob, second. Sarah, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, we're on page 41. Action items 5128. Acceptance of independence accountant report for the approval of corrective action plan. Motion, please. Dorothy, second. Sarah, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Field trips, approval of the music trips for the 2018-19 school year. Motion, please. Rob, second. Sarah, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, we're up to page 42, donations. Sachem Swim Club. Donation, $24,000. Motion, please. Bill, second. Terry, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Donation, Home Depot, $800. Motion, please. Bill, second. Laura, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried. Approval of budget transfer, $50,000 or greater. Motion, please. Bill, second. Mike, any questions? Dorothy?
Mr. O'Keefe, I just have a question as far as the 1.1, as far as the transfer for the elementary technology equipment. And I did see as far as the negative salary codes that you need to transfer money for those. So can you just explain the elementary technology?
Sure. And this is actually something that Dr. Graham and the entire cabinet has worked with the administration on during the budget process for 17-18. Obviously, we identified a number of technology needs at primarily the elementary level. We started off the current school year, the 17-18 school year, losing all of the computers in every elementary classroom just due to their age. So part of the budget process for next year was starting to replenish them by getting grade-level carts. So you'd have a cart filled with 30 laptops that could be wheeled into classrooms. Ideally, what we'd like to get to by the end of next year is a cart in each grade level in each of the 10 buildings. This is going to help us move towards that by buying 3 carts for each building for next year through funds that we have available this year.
Okay, so, and I remember when we were having discussion about the budget for next year, as far as some of the enhancements, I think included some of this, correct?
This is in addition to those enhancements.
Oh, it's in addition to.
This will, by the end of next year, by the 18-19 school year, each elementary school will have one cart per grade level, in addition to what they have in the libraries and multipurpose rooms.
So it'll be one cart per grade level, not for each classroom?
Correct. Right now there are no computers in any classroom.
So we don't have any computers in any of the elementary school classrooms right now?
There were desktops at the back of the room,
right,
formerly.
I remember that.
And then when it had to do with an update of Windows or something like that.
All outdated.
That they stopped working with the software, with
I
the internet.
I didn't realize that we had no computers
so,
in any of the elementary schools right now.
I would stop short of saying we don't have any computers in the elementary classrooms right now. We may have one or two, where in the past they had three or four desktops in the back of the room.
Four at the back of each room.
Yeah.
Right.
Unfortunately, those all had to be retired.
So we've removed those because they don't work. And now there are still computer labs in each of the buildings. There are computers in some of the multipurpose rooms. There are computers in the libraries at each of the schools. This is our plan to start to infuse more into those buildings, and each of those carts would then have 30 computers on it. So you would be talking about 180 computers being in every building, in addition to those in the multipurpose room, in addition to those in the library, in addition to those in the computer lab. And then teachers would, you know, the way this is utilized is it's not something that you use then every day. Teachers would have a shared calendar for the building, which they do already. And they would sign up for use of the computers within their respective classroom on a particular day. So this allows them a greater degree of flexibility within their buildings, also with how they use those computers. So each of the carts will have a wireless router, so it'll be accessible via, they'll be able to access the network and the internet via that cart. So it's not that we don't have any computers, we just are grossly under-computered, if that's a word.
So are they laptops?
They're laptops, yes.
Okay. So we're implementing the laptops. So this is in addition to what we're also adding for next year.
Correct.
And we're using the money that we're using is you're transferring out of other budget lines.
Correct.
To support this.
Right.
So when we're moving out of other budget lines, it means that there was a surplus in those budget lines.
Yeah, I mean, the bulk of this money we've discussed in the past is monies that we saved by opting out of the TRS smoothing system. So most of these monies have been coming from our savings from the our retirement monies. Yeah, because when we built the budget in the previous year, we weren't sure we were going to be able to be completely out of the TRS smoothing.
Right.
So these monies, that's the primary line that the money is coming from. It's three-quarters of $1 million.
When there are surpluses in budget lines, it's up to the board or
it's the board's discretion, sure.
To make a decision on what you're doing with that surplus, whether
correct.
You use it for other purposes or whether you want to spend it on something like this. So I guess, and I wasn't at the last board meeting, but did we discuss this at the last board meeting, or this is just something that was sent out in the packet?
I think that this was shared with the board with regard to wanting to have a laptop cart for each grade level at each of the buildings. I don't know that it was a public conversation, but I think that we had given an internal memo within the packet to the Board of Education that indicated that that was our plan.
Okay. The only reason I'm asking is that it's a lot of money.
Absolutely.
It's over $1 million. So when we talk about that, you know, using the surplus for that, and I'm in favor of doing this because we need the computers for our students. So as far as the bond, the smart schools, that would not cover something like this?
Once we're done utilizing phase one and phase two of the smart schools bond, which the first phase is security vestibules and visitor management systems, phase two is installing wireless throughout the entire school district, and then other security enhancements, additional cameras, the DVRs for them, access control systems, things of that nature. Once those two phases are done, the Smart Schools plan identified whatever remaining funds were left for classroom technology. That could be projectors, smart boards, devices, you know, whatever the need is at that time.
So you must have a plan then. If we're spending money on this right now, you must have a plan to either support the technology in the schools, or are you planning something else? Because now we're using the money here, so we're not getting reimbursed for this.
Well, that's correct. But the money that we would be reimbursed with, the Smart Schools money for classroom technology, would be vastly insufficient to support the amount of technology that we need in this school district right now. I think the allocation within the Smart Schools is a total for our district of about $11 million. As John mentioned, I'm not going to rehash everything, but there's large chunks of that money already allocated to the security vestibules, to the additional cameras, to the wireless infrastructure throughout our school, so that that full allocation is not then left to buy computers. So maybe it's a couple of million that would be there for purchasing computers for the classrooms for K-12 for 15 buildings. It's not even close to scratching the surface of what we need to get in the hands of our students. So the plan then, and we do have a technology plan that's submitted to the state biannually, I believe, that Jack Renda's office reviews with both Dr. Morrow, Ms. Hines, myself, Mr. O'Keefe, does include a plan for utilizing both general funds as well as the Smart Schools funds to help enhance our district-wide technology K-12.
Yeah, just in rough numbers, it's about $2.5 million for the security vestibules and visitor management systems, and all of the wireless and all the other upgrades throughout the district are about $6.5 million. It leaves about $2 million for devices, in rough numbers.
Okay, thank you.
And ideally, obviously, even with the way we're budgeting, you don't want to roll everything out and purchase everything in 1 year. You want to do it in cycles so that in 4 or 5 year cycles, you then start to replace the devices that are 5 years old, just the same way we're doing with the buses now.
Okay. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, we're up to 551. Recommendation of the Committee on Special Education. Motion, please. Laura, second. Bill, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, we have monthly reports, legislative, audit, budget, and policy. Anything on any of those? I think we went through most of that already. Okay. Goals. Got that. Okay. We just have some. You have nothing else on? No. Okay. We have some visitors. Frank Srico.
Good evening, President Falco, trustees, Dr. Graham, members of the Central Administration, and distinguished guests. During the 4 years that I have been president of the Sachem Central Teachers Association, we have had discussions regarding fiscal issues and contract negotiations. We worked through school closings without losing teachers, teaching assistants, or aides. We have resolved potential grievances, and you have helped many of my members who are in need. While it was certainly within your prerogative to turn down sick bank requests, since I have taken office, not once have you denied a sick bank. Even when the request was not directly for a member, but for a sick child of a member. For this and many other things, on behalf of myself and the SCTA, I thank you. The main reason that made our partnership work was singularity of purpose. We strove to make Sachem a better place for the school children and for those that work here. We have demonstrated that it is possible for labor and management to sit at the same table and work through problems and not fight to resolve them. The road ahead will be rocky. Public education is under attack. Boards of education, district offices, and education unions must remain resolute in their purpose to foster a harmonious working relationship that enables all children to be the best that they can be. Our common enemy is ignorance, not one another. It is my hope that the bridges that we have built together are fortified by incoming administrations, and that these bridges stand steadfast against all storms. As you know, there is no finer group of educational professionals than the men and women that comprise the SCTA. They are hardworking, compassionate, and ever ready to go the extra mile for the children of this community. It has been an honor to serve them as their president, and it has been a pleasure to work with you during my time in office. May God bless you, and may God bless the SCTA.
Thank you, Frank.
Frank, doesn't your term go till September 1st?
Yes, it does.
You're not off the hook that just yet, right?
Thanks, Frank. Kristen, is it Galetta?
Good evening, board members, administration, Dr. Graham, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kristen Galetta. I live at 8 Morris Avenue in Lake Grove. I'm a parent of two children at Winona. I'm also a first grade teacher in the Patchogue Medford School District at Tremont Elementary School, and I've been there for 18 years and vowed never to be that annoying teacher parent and to trust all administrators and teachers' decisions until now. Because I feel so strongly over a matter that involves an extraordinary teacher who deserves and should be honored with an extraordinary circumstance. Last Friday, Mrs. Jennifer DeGregory learned that she was being transferred and is beyond devastated, as are hundreds. In my opinion, her name should never have been in that hat in the first place. When schools closed 2 years ago, Winona was given a gift. Her name was Mrs. DeGregory, a second grade teacher. Raise your hand in the audience if you're a Winona parent and adore Mrs. DeGregory. She's been in the district for 24 years, and in all my 18 years' experience, my husband's 15 years in elementary, and my mother's 30 years in elementary, we have never come across a person as outstanding as she is. I invite you all to think back to your school career days where you had that one teacher that you could draw upon that inspired you and convinced you to love school. She's that one. Her charisma is unparalleled. She's innovative and inspiring. She captures every audience with her excitement for learning and hilarious personality. She's personally invested in every child, and it's evident when you see the tremendous growth academically, socially, emotionally, in your own child and in her classmates. She's very instrumental in leading other teachers as well. She's a team leader, and she's great with organization, and she's made those children and her fellow colleagues work. Then, upon speaking to my daughter's peers throughout the year, I've learned that every child loves Mrs. DeGregory, and every parent feels as though their child had the greatest impact because of her. That speaks volumes. She is what they call a true master teacher. I'm asking the decision maker of whoever is deemed the power of this final decision in the case of transfers to rethink this move. Our district needs to put children first. Ms. DeGregory always puts them at the forefront, and she's the most dedicated, selfless, generous teacher there is. People, humans like her, come around once in a lifetime. I understand there's zero protection in your contract for regarding transfers so close together, so many years close together, but someone like her should never have even been in question. With 6 years remaining in her incredible career, she deserves to remain in her new home that she found at Winona. It would be foolish for the district to ignore my request. I thank you for your time and serious reconsideration in this matter before she finishes packing up her belongings, because she's still there tonight.
Thank you, Squire. Fred Fasaro.
I'd like to thank the board and the superintendent for letting me say a few words. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Fred Fusaro. I was a head football coach here at Sachem for 34 years. During those 34 years, I had the good fortune of coaching thousands of young men. I devoted my life to the Sachem School District and the student athletes that I came in contact with, some of which are on the board now. The reason that I'm here tonight, I would like to just say a few words about Mark Wojciechowski, the former head football coach at Sachem East. I'm not trying to minimize the events of August the 10th, because that was a catastrophe. There's no question about that. Every football coach, or any coach, parent, that's your worst nightmare for something like that to happen. And I truly believe that the events of that day were an accident. I don't really feel that there was negligence of any sort involved in what transpired that day. Mark Wojciechowski, there are very few people that know Mark better and or longer than I do. All right, I've known him since he's in the eighth grade at Samoset Junior High School. He played for me. He was a captain for me. He's a man of integrity. He was an all-state football player, outstanding football player in the state. His goal in life was to coach at Sachem. After he played for me, he went on to UMass on a football scholarship. And he, when he graduated, he did his student teaching here. He coached for me for a good number of years, and then he became the head coach at Sachem East. I think it's very important, in light of everything that's being written and said, that people understand what kind of man he is. All right? I'm a history buff, okay? And I'm going to give you a couple of quotes that I think symbolize what Mark really is. The supreme quality for leadership is unquestionably integrity. Without it, no real success is possible, whether it's on a football field, in an army, or in an office. Dwight D. Eisenhower. When we talk about integrity and character, I don't think I've had a player that played for me that had more character and more integrity than Mark. He will go to his grave with the happenings of August the 10th. I know because 5 years ago, I was coaching at John Glenn High School, and we had a similar incident against Shoreham Wading River, where during the course of the game, a boy was hit and ultimately passed away. The one thing that I observed during that incident was there was no finger pointing, okay? There was no no one from Shoreham, no one from Glenn wanted to they didn't want to point a finger at why this happened, okay? They investigated it, and that's where it ended. I don't think that happened here. I really don't. Mark is a guy that takes a lot of care about his kids. He does a lot of planning. Everything that he does in regards to his football team is well thought out and planned, okay? And he's a big teddy bear. That's what he is, really. He's a guy that really cares about his kids. He would never do anything intentionally to hurt any one of them. I know over the course of his career, he's taken in kids that were having family problems, had no place to go. They came to Mark and they lived with him. I mean, he's a guy that has a lot of character and has a lot of integrity. The last quote I'm going to give you, which again I think symbolizes what Mark really stands for. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Martin Luther King Jr. Mark has taken the brunt of what happened, and he's not backed down from his responsibility. But I want everybody to know what kind of man he is. I haven't seen or heard anybody stand up and say, hey, this is a good guy. He's a Sachem kid. He's devoted to this school district. He cares about Sachem kids. I haven't heard anybody say that, or I haven't seen it written anyplace. And that bothers me, because he's a product of this school district. He's a great guy. He's a good coach. He's got character, and he's got integrity. And I think everybody needs to know that. That's all I really have to say.
Thank you, Fred. Okay, at this time, I need a motion to go into executive session to discuss potential evaluation and discipline of a particular employee. Motion, please. Laura? You want to go?
I just have one thing to
do. Okay.
For future discussion items, I know in the packet, Dr. Graham had put something in there as far as suspensions and that they've been increasing in some of the buildings. So, and I know, Ms. Hines, you were working on that with Dr. Hines as far as, I'm sorry, with Dr. Graham. Oh, all right. I thought it was Aaron. Sorry. I just wanted to know in the future, as far as if you can come to the board, just to let us know what you're working on, as far as if you're going to be implementing something or with the kids. And also, does that tie in, Dr. Graham, and all with the code of conduct?
I think a lot of that ties into policy 5300, which the board was side-railed from dedication towards 5300 with regard to facilities and some of the other policies that we were reviewing.
Right.
So I think that Dr. Morrow's office has been doing a lot around the code of conduct and looking at our suspension practices. That's something that we'll continue to do, and we certainly can share that with the board and with the community moving forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Just to mention, our next meeting is not till July 11th. That's the reorg meeting. Our new school year will start on that date. Motion to go into exec. Laura, second. Dorothy, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried.